Turn with us, if you would, to Acts chapter 14. And I don't know how much early information they got out about it. Recently, I learned about Pray Georgia. Could have been I ignored some of the first emails or something, but Pray Georgia is this week, and I've got a prayer guide that I'm going to hand out a little later. I'm going to try to save myself some time at the end. I don't need to preach for 35 minutes, probably any Sunday morning. I'm going to try to save myself a little time, and we'll hand out the prayer guide and talk about the schedule for this week. There's themes for each day, and there's some prayer points that are listed as we pray daily throughout this next week. It actually begins tomorrow. Pray Georgia begins tomorrow and runs through next Sunday. And it's a week of prayer and fasting for the state of Georgia and for our churches and for sharing the gospel amid everything that's going on. So the Pray Georgia material really starts with the prophet Joel in the Old Testament and how they prayed and fasted. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 14, and I'll begin at verse 21. And we're going to look at prayer and fasting in the early church. And then we'll go from there. And not just telling you that we need to pray. Why do we pray? Why do we fast? I've got several different scriptures I'm going to reference in the Bible, and we'll talk about why we do these things, what's God's command, what are we trying to accomplish. So, prayer and fasting beginning at Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had been delivered. In the Bible, we never see fasting by itself. We always see prayer and fasting. Sometimes we see mourning and fasting. It's spiritual discipline, but the fasting you never see by itself. Fasting is a part or comes alongside of other spiritual disciplines, such as prayer. And you've probably heard me say before, you know, we don't pray in order to manipulate God into doing things. I believe that God answers prayer. I believe that that prayer changes things. Sometimes when we pray, we are the ones that get changed. Prayer is not like rubbing a magic lamp and a genie grants wishes when he comes out. Prayer is not like sitting on Santa's lap and giving him your wish list of things that we want to happen. Every time that I pray, you will hear me pray in Jesus' name, but almost always, hopefully always, for God's will to be done. We come to God with our needs and our petitions, and we pray His will into our lives and into our ministry, and we pray God's will into the work of this church. There's a lot of options and choices, and sometimes we don't know what to do next. We ask God for direction. Some people want to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. They want to give God advice or tell God what He should do. When some Pharisees and some others that doubted Jesus came to Him on one occasion, they said, "Show us a sign." Now, just the day before, Jesus had fed 5,000 men in addition to women and children. They were miraculously fed with just a few small loaves and fishes. They had seen signs. They knew about Jesus' healing ministry and the miracles He had performed. They said, "If you would just show us a sign, we will believe." And Jesus basically said, no. Jesus told them only a wicked and perverse generation seeks a sign. You see, God never does supernatural, miraculous things to force people to have faith. But when people come to God through Jesus in prayer, when people approach the throne of grace that already has faith, have faith, then God responds to their faithfulness. So you don't say to God, if you'll answer this prayer, I will believe in you. Because if you don't come to God with a heart that believes in faith, He's not going to hear and answer your prayers. So what these individuals did, it's early in the church. Many, many new believers were being saved. So the disciples appointed elders in each one of those churches. They set up and trained leaders. And then before they moved on to other missionary journeys or before they returned to Jerusalem, probably if you read through Acts, you read the New Testament letters, they probably laid hands on them and prayed. And with prayer and fasting, they dedicated them to the work. It's like an ordination service. They were setting those leaders apart. They were praying for them that God would instruct them, would call things into their remembrance from Scripture, would make them good leaders. They were praying that these men would be filled with the Spirit and lead their churches. And they did that with a period of prayer and fasting. So on the outline, yeah, I remember there's an outline. On the outline there on the back of your bulletin, the first line says we find prayer and fasting in the Old Testament. When Thomas Hammond did his little introduction about Pray Georgia, he mentioned the prophet Joel, for instance. So we find prayer and we find fasting in the Old Testament. Ezra prayed and fasted while he was seeking protection. Nehemiah wept, fasted, and prayed during a time of mourning. I said, you don't ever see fasting by itself. It's prayer and fasting, or it's mourning and fasting. Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall and establish Jerusalem again after a period of exile. He wept, fasted, and prayed while he mourned that the walls were broken down and Jerusalem was desolate. When Daniel perceived that Jerusalem would be desolated for 70 years, Daniel 9:3, he says, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleased for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. There's many references to fasting in the Old Testament, but like I say, it's never just to fasting. It's always in conjunction with something else. The next line on your bulletin outline, we find prayer and fasting in the New Testament. We started today in Acts chapter 14. In Acts 13, the church at Antioch prayed before they sent out Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were about to embark on a missionary journey. They had a trip planned. They had an agenda. So the entire church, not just Paul and Barnabas, the church at Jerusalem prayed and fasted for the work that they were undertaking. A lot of times if Jesus was about to come to a turning point in His ministry, when one phase ended and He was about to start the next big thing, He prayed every day. The Bible says He got up early in the morning while it was still night and went out to pray. But anytime Jesus was about to shift gears and had something big coming up, He prayed even more than that. At the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed all night. He went out late at night to pray. He prayed all night, and He was still praying in the morning. There were times the disciples fell asleep and couldn't stay with Him. And He's like, couldn't you just hang in there a little while? Because the adversary is near. And He prayed again, and they fell asleep again. He was wearing them out. Before Jesus began His public ministry, He went out into the wilderness and spent 40 days in prayer and in fasting. He was preparing for something new to happen. And He wanted to get ready for it. He wanted to be fully devoted. He wanted His spirit to be in tune with God the Heavenly Father before He embarked on a new mission and a new phase of his ministry work. This was the very beginning of his ministry. So as Paul and Barnabas are planning a trip, just a chapter before we read, the church in Jerusalem prayed and fasted for them. Then after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. That's, let's see, Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Acts 13, 2 and 3. There we go. Paul and Barnabas pray and fast for the elders appointed to each church here in chapter 14. While Old Testament fasting is often associated with weeping and mourning, New Testament fasting is often associated with establishing believers in Christian service. It is part of the dedication of ministers and missionaries. So these church leaders are being prayed over with prayer and fasting. Paul or Saul and Barnabas, that's the same guy, are being prayed over and have hands laid because they're going out to work on the mission field. But prayer and fasting are often associated with establishing new believers. When a person is saved, shortly after that is the very first time that Satan will come and tempt them by saying, "You know you're not really saved, right?" Not on Sunday, when all the brothers and sisters are here and we're congratulating them and shaking their hand and crying over them and rejoicing, maybe on Monday morning, maybe a few days later when all the excitement and the intensity of the church service is over, maybe when that new believer is alone and there's no other Christians around to talk to right then, that's when Satan will come for the very first time and begin to instill doubt and say, "You know, nothing really happened in that church service. You knelt down at the altar and you had a good cry and you feel better, but nothing's changed. You're the same ugly person you've always been," and then starts reminding that person of every sinful thing they've ever done. Well, that's the first encouragement that I like to tell new believers, that you've done something right. Because when you weren't saved, Satan never came and told you that you weren't saved. He doesn't do that. So if you have a voice whispering in your head that you're not really saved, that's a good indication that you have been. And he's trying to bring doubt and confusion. He is the author of confusion. Jesus is not. We find fasting in the Old Testament. We find prayer and fasting in the Old Testament. We find prayer and fasting in the New Testament. The last fill in the blank there on your outline, Jesus prayed and fasted. Jesus prayed and fasted and taught others to pray and fast. After his baptism and before beginning in public ministry, we mentioned that Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness in prayer and fasting. Satan came and tempted him. And I'm not going to preach that sermon again right this minute, but every time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus responded with words of Scripture. To my well-meaning Christian friends that spend all their time in the New Testament and never read the Old Testament, anytime Jesus quoted Scripture, it was always Old Testament because that's what they had. In the first century, the Jewish believers Jesus was preaching to and discipling would have simply called that the Hebrew Bible. That was the Bible that they had. So anytime Jesus talks about reading Scripture or quoting Scripture or talks about going to the Scriptures or refers to the Word of God, he's describing what we call the Old Testament. I just threw that in there. It didn't cost you anything extra. Jesus prayed. Jesus fasted. Sometimes Jesus wept over entire cities that rejected him, not for his own sake. He knew that was bad for their sake. Just like in Acts, we saw in Acts chapter 14, Jesus dedicates himself to the task at hand with a season of preparation. Jesus taught others to pray and to fast. He explained on at least one occasion why his disciples did not fast, and that's because they had the bride with them. They would fast later when he was no longer with them. His instruction on fasting was to the larger audience of Jews regarding how to fast correctly. Jesus gave some warnings about people that do it wrong. He says, you know, you'll see the Pharisees fasting, and you can tell because they disfigure their faces and they moan and groan. They make a big public display out of everything that they're doing, and everybody knows they're fasting. He says it's the same way when they pray. He's like, you will see the Pharisees standing on the street corners praying very loudly, and they think they'll be known for their much speaking. They want to be seen by others. And they are, and that's all the reward they're going to get. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. Now, I don't think we literally have to have a prayer closet with a door that actually closes. But if you do, that satisfies the command. Jesus says, go into your closet and close the door and don't let anybody know what you're doing. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That's good advice when giving, when tithing, when doing your works before the Lord. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. It's kind of hard if you're giving someone a sheet cake. Thank you for noticing. That was a joke. Jesus says, when you pray, go in the closet and close the door, so that nobody else sees and hears. And what God sees in secret, He will reward openly. When you fast, wash your face. Don't let your countenance change. Smile. Don't walk around holding your belly and moaning so everybody knows you're fasting. Don't tell everybody how terrible you feel, but it's going to be worth it because you're praying and fasting. Present yourself with a bright countenance, so that nobody knows what you're doing, because what God sees in secret, He will reward openly. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that we don't hear much about anymore. But the many references throughout Scripture are hard to ignore, particularly when Jesus and the early church fathers fasted so often with prayer. There's a right and a wrong way taught by Jesus in the Gospels, and Isaiah talks about how to do these things correctly in Isaiah chapter 58. You don't have to look at that now, but you can remember I said it. Fasting, like prayer and tithing, is a demonstrate a dependence on God's provision. So what is fasting about? Fasting is simply a way of denying yourself. Fasting is a way of saying, I am not the most important thing in my little universe. And I'll go ahead and give you this little note. I'm going to hand out the prayer guide in a few minutes. We're going to talk about Pray Georgia that runs for this next week. We've had a season of prayer and fasting at Unity Baptist Church. It's been a few years ago now. I looked it up. That was in 2015. I think I preached a series of three sermons. I talked about prayer and fasting. I preached a sermon specifically on prayer and maybe a sermon specifically on fasting, and I'm actually referring to one of those outlines. Some preachers are very proud of the fact that they never recycle a sermon. They don't have any reruns, and they'll tell you that. I've read the Bible enough to know that it repeats itself a lot. Jesus repeated himself. There's four gospel accounts. Some of those are very similar in places. Paul wrote letters to the Ephesians, to the Romans. He wrote letters to Timothy and to Titus and Philemon, and Paul repeated himself in some of those letters, and then they got collected. So I have no problem telling you the same thing twice. It's been 5 years, and could anybody here, you know, by show of hands, tell me everything I said in that sermon 5 years ago? Because I couldn't. I had to look it up. Prayer and fasting are spiritual disciplines that are not about drawing attention to us. It's about using our time and our energy to come to God and ask Him that His will would be done in our churches. in our communities. The focus of Pray Georgia is going to be to get Baptists in the state of Georgia to pray for our state. School is coming up, and we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we need to not lose sight of the fact that, 78% of people in the state of Georgia are lost, live in darkness, perhaps thinking they can see. And it would be a shame that if we came here every week and talked about how great the gospel is, but then no one outside of our church walls heard that story. As we talked about fasting a few years ago, everyone may not be able to do that, either because of medical conditions or diabetes, or you're on a special diet. Fasting could be for a period of 24 hours, or it could be from sunup till sundown. You could fast one meal and eat the other two. One suggestion in the Pray Georgia material was a juice fast. Don't eat any solid food all day long, but have juice. Make sure you drink plenty of water, even if you are fasting. And finally, you could fast something besides food. They suggested perhaps fasting from social media or entertainment. If you fasted from watching television for one day, then you would have more time to spend in Bible reading and prayer and meditation. Fasting is simply a way of denying oneself in order to focus on something that is greater, and that is God's will and God's grace and sharing the gospel message. We find prayer and fasting in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. We see it practiced by Jesus, and Jesus taught others how to do it correctly. When we pray, it's not saying, God, give me this, or God, I want, or God, I have needs, and this is exactly what I want you to do about them. When we bow our head to pray and ask God for anything, that's our admission that we can't, and also that He can. Prayer is about opening our hearts to God and telling Him that we desire the same things that He desires, or asking Him to remove the desires that we have that are not like His. Sometimes we get the idea that, we're going to church, we're reading the Bible every day, or I'm a church leader, I'm a preacher, I'm the Sunday school teacher, me and God are close, and I don't have to spend as much time praying because me and God are best friends. Jesus is my BFF. Jesus spends as much time or more time than anybody in the Bible in prayer, and He was God. Prayer is not about coming back to God after we've done wrong. That's one thing you could do when you pray. But if you're doing anything at all for God, the devil is not going to like that. And we need to pray for protection when he comes against us. If the devil hasn't messed with you in a while, that's probably not a good sign. Just like I said about the new believer a while ago being tempted for the first time. If there's not some sort of adversary coming against us, we must not be doing anything that he's worried about. And he'll leave us alone and focus on the people that are. Prayer, fasting, tithing, these are spiritual disciplines by which we seek God's will and we ask him to work. Why in Jerusalem were they praying and fasting and mourning? It's because their land was desolated. It's because either Babylon or Assyria or the Roman Empire, there was always an enemy coming and conquering Israel. The Philistines were oppressing them. They prayed, they fasted, they mourned, they wept, and they cried out to God and asked for restoration. They wanted to see God move, not just to give them their best life now. They didn't just ask for a bigger house and a fat bank account or a new car. They weren't saying, Lord, bless me with your material blessings because the preacher on TV said you wanted to do that. They were in a bad way as well as their entire nation. They were oppressed by real enemies with the sword. And their people were dying. And they cried out to God to be restored, to be revived, for Him to establish their nation. Think about when the Hebrews were down in Egypt for 400 years. Their taskmasters increased their burden. And they cried out to God. And there again, every week I tell you one of my favorite verses of Scripture. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is when they cried out from Egypt and the Bible says God heard and God knew. He had established His covenant with Abraham and says, this is what I'm going to do in 400 years. And when they cried out in their oppression, God knew that it was time to fulfill the promises that He had made. We pray, we fast, we seek God's will. And we do these things, so kind of like John the Baptist said, we can make more of Him and less of us. An egotistical prayer that says, Lord, make me somebody, that may not be one that God is going to hear, and if He does hear, He may not answer. We need to make less of ourselves and more of Jesus. And that's what the world will respond to when we are touched, used, and blessed in His ministry and to further His kingdom. Let's pray together.